listening to a radio station where the mighty hosts of heaven sing. Turn your radio on.
Turn your radio on.
Turn your radio on.
Turn your radio on.
If you want to hear the songs of Zion coming from the land of endless spring,
get in touch with God.
Turn your radio on. Turn your radio on.
Turn your radio on.
And listen to the music in the air.
Turn your radio on.
Turn your radio on. Heaven's glory share.
Turn the lights down low.
Turn the lights down low.
And listen to the Master's radio.
Get in touch with God.
Get in touch with God.
Turn your radio on.
Turn your radio on.
Listen to the songs of the fathers and the mothers and the many friends gone on before. Turn your radio on.
Turn your radio on.
Turn your radio on.
Turn your radio on.
Some eternal morning we shall meet them over on the Hallelujah shore.
Get in touch with God.
Turn your radio on. Turn your radio on.
Turn your radio on.
And listen to the music in the air. Turn your radio on.
Turn your radio on.
Heaven's glory share.
Radio.
Get in touch with God.
Get in touch with God.
Turn your radio on.
Turn your radio on.
Lord, when you are glorified, my heart is satisfied.
You're listening to Have a Little Faith.
Worship music and some things to think about.
Sit back and relax as we bring you worship music from artists across the generations.
And some thoughts on how your faith can be active in today's world.
Listen in every Sunday night from 8 to 10 p.m. here on Yarra Valley FM 99.1.
The voice of the valley.
Yeah, great. So, thanks, Greg, for having us in. It's fantastic. Crackers. Your mic's on.
So. Excellent, no worries. And thanks, Matt, for 2 hours of great rock and roll. Matt will be back next Sunday night, 6 p.m. with some great original rock and roll. Don't forget, coming up shortly, he's going to do that special with the stereo sound to all those old mono tracks.
Fantastic. So we've got Have a Little Faith, which is a new, you know, a couple of new presenters, which is myself and Leanne, and I'm Dom. I used to do a show with Greg, and
the Bat Cave,
and now we're actually, I guess all three of us at the moment are in the studio. So, do you want to say hi, Leanne?
Or? Hello, everybody. This is fantastic. Thank you so much for this privilege. Really honoured to be here.
Absolutely. You've been working hard on, you know, sermons and all sorts of things that we could, you know, present over the years. So it'll be really good to hear what you have to present. And we're going to start off with a bit of Christian music. Did You Mean Me? Todd Agnew, Compliments of Gus and Counter All, and The Worship Collective, Every Good Gift and Father of Mine. So we'll start off with a few beautiful Christian tracks.
Met Jesus at the felt board, and I've heard these stories so many times of how and why you died and how I can live. But you said all sins can be forgiven, but when you said that, did you meet me?
Spirit's fire purify. Well, encounter
Shines in my heart, grows in mercy, provision.
You're tuned into Yarra Valley FM 99.1, and we've got Leanne and myself, Dawn, and we're just doing the Have a Little Faith show. So, Leanne, you mentioned earlier today that you had an experience with God, I guess.
Well, I was walking. It was pretty cold today and not much happening with COVID, so I was walking around the block and I saw these dead branches on the ground.
Mm-hmm.
And then it brought me to a scripture, John 15:3, and it says, I'm the vine and you are the branches, and he who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. And I saw that dead branch there and I realised it's dead and it can't bear fruit of itself because it's dead. And what's more, the branch isn't connected to anything. And if we go to that scripture, it talks about the vine being Jesus Christ, the life source, and we are the branch. Now, that's not a contradiction. It's not a promise. It's a fact. He is the vine and we are the branch. And the branch is connected to the vine. And so I was just thinking, well, I can't do anything without him, without that life source. And not just that, what runs through that vine, I call it the sap, if you will, that then is released into the branch, would be the Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit life source goes through that vine into the branch, because without the Spirit, we can't do anything. It's his Holy Spirit that empowers us to walk in the fruit of the Spirit. We cannot do that on our own. And I think we all know that, right? So I was meditating on that and thinking it takes a lot of pressure off us, if you think about it, knowing that you can't do anything and he can. However, on our end, we have to abide in the vine. We have to stay connected to the vine, which is abiding in him, obeying him and his commandments. So really, the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit is involved in this whole garden, because if you think about it, it also goes on to say the vine dresser is the Father, our Father God. So he is in charge of the garden. He prunes those branches that need to be pruned if they're not bearing any fruit. And I guess when I look at my own life and yours, you know, there are trials, there are circumstances that come our way, but they are continually there to draw us back to the vine. So Father's providence is in our lives. We adopt Jesus' teachings, which is the vine, and the Holy Spirit empowers us to walk those teachings out. Does that make sense?
Absolutely.
So, you know, I believe every reason for our trial, every reason for our hardship, every rough wind in our life is to show us our weakness and our inability to do, and always keeping us dependent on the Father, the Son and the Holy Spirit. It's continually keeping us in that dependency mode where we need him. And, you know, seeing that dead branch there, I just realised, well, that can't bear any fruit of itself because it's dead. The message is we have to be connected to that vine. We are made and born to be connected to him.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Because seeing a branch on the ground is sort of unnatural.
Well, it just withers on its own.
A withering branch coming to nothing.
Yeah, absolutely.
This is such a powerful chapter, John 15. And, you know, Jesus is a really good fruit picker.
Yeah.
He loves his fruit.
Absolutely.
To be juicy and ripe.
Yeah. Okay. So we're going to go on to a few more songs. These are by you, by the way, Leanne Pereira. So here we go.
Why? the tears I cry, hoping things would change, and only mean goodbye, cause I don't feel no more. You sit and wonder why, was it something that you said? Tried so hard to be, to find the faith in me, you didn't care to see it.
Yeah, welcome to Yarra Valley FM. You're with Dom and Leanne just on the Have a Little Faith segment show, Christian show. So, Leanne, I was just thinking about there's a lot of traditions and a lot of things that are very different to what most of us experience in daily life when we go into a church. There's worship, there's all sorts of things, you know, prayer.
Yes.
You know, and they don't just happen in churches, but obviously, you know, as a person that was unfamiliar with churches at one stage in my life, it was kind of unusual to hear the depth of the tradition or the background to certain things that exist. And one of them is communion. And I was just thinking, you know, is there anything you want to teach us about or share with us about communion? Because
I don't know about teach, but I can definitely give you my own experience. A long while back, the Lord impressed it upon my heart to do a daily communion. And the result, it actually brought me closer to Him. And, you know, we do it as often as we like in remembrance of Him. So it's pretty much based on your relationship. It's not a religious act. It's basically born out of a relationship with the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit.
So this is not a tradition of man. It's a tradition.
It's relational.
Yeah, relational. Yeah.
Personally for me. And why we do it is to remember what Christ did and accomplished on the cross until the day He returns. And it's also a contact point of faith. As soon as you enter in to breaking of the bread and drinking the fruit of the vine, it directly brings you to Him through your own heart. So, you know, instantly when you come into communion with Him, you are partaking in what He has done for you. So it is definitely a very direct contact point of faith. Does that make sense? And also it reveals a Christ consciousness, a deeper revelation of His body and His blood daily. If it's not a religious thing, it comes out of your own heart wanting to do it. It's definitely not a legalistic thing. Not from my, you know, experience.
Yeah.
So it's like having fellowship with Him, daily fellowship with Him.
So when you say communion, that's when they eat the bread and drink the wine.
Well, so with the elements, so you have His broken body. So you have the bread. And say, look, the bread can be a rice cracker for all I care.
Okay.
It doesn't have to be a round wafer. It can be, you know, you're eating your Cheerios in the morning and then, you know, you bite on the Cheerio. That's the body. Mm-hmm. It's a heart thing. It's not about what the element is. It's the connection of the heart to what you're doing. So with His body, well, if you want me to explain, that He was beaten and bruised and marred and more than any other man known, the Bible says. He put Himself on the cross and faced and conquered death and hell and the grave. So we never have to die. This is pretty serious stuff. He was separated from the Father, and it pleased the Father to bruise Him so we could forever be joined with Him. You know, He saw that yours and my creative value and destiny and our lives, that one would die so that all could live.
Mm-hmm.
The land slain, as it says, before the foundations of the earth. His innocence, Jesus' innocence, was given and yielded up so that our guilt could be removed and taken away. He was raised from the dead, you know, with a brand new resurrected body, the firstborn from the dead among many. So then when we are raised up with Him, we are made justified. And that term justified means we are no longer guilty before a holy God. It's a legal term, and it means that we are now in right standing with God, and He sees us as that. That's the thing people don't realize. He actually sees us as righteous.
Mm-hmm.
The doctrine's called the doctrine of justification. So we are no longer guilty before a holy God. We are made clean and having right standing with Him because He lives. And it's all Him doing it. He was marred more than any of the sons of men, it says in the Bible. And, you know, when sin got done with Adam and Eve, they too lost their appearance in a way. They lost the glory of God. They lost the image of God. Just as Jesus lost His recognizability through the stripes, so we could be restored back to Him. Does that make sense?
So the stripes are the whipping of
the lashes
of Jesus, yeah.
39?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. you know, someone might say, why did it have to be so brutal? Because sin is so brutal. Would you agree?
Absolutely. You were talking about that scripture, he who knew no sin was made sin for us. That we might made
yeah,
the
that's a whole sermon that
it's another one.
Might consider doing before. Later in the show if we have time. But just going back to the body, because there's a bit more. So we died through one man's disobedience, it says in the Bible, through Adam, but through one man's obedience, Jesus, we were made righteous. It's incredible. So we hold the body of Jesus symbolic. It's a symbolic element. And I guess you're pondering all this in your heart. You're pondering all that I've said in your heart as you're making this transaction with him. And so you can see how it goes straight to the heart of the gospel, straight to, you know, the depths of it in that moment. And we come in with thanksgiving and ever-increasing understanding of what Jesus accomplished for us as you enter into that communion. So so that's the bread. That's just the bread. and the scripture, as we may or may not know, is by the stripes on your back, we are healed. And we receive his broken body, believing supernaturally that our bodies are healed and made whole and restored and made new in Jesus' name. And I do pray that. And you can pray that over yourself and your family members by faith, believing that will come to pass. The blood, Jesus' blood was shed to forgive us of all our sins, and every act of sin ever committed,
It's amazing that he went to the cross, and that when they put the wounded him in the side, there was only water that came out. Every drop of blood, every bit of blood within him was shed for our sins.
I'm thinking of a tsunami now. Imagine there was a tsunami about to confront you that would wipe out your whole entire house, belongings, and you're standing there and the tsunami is coming before you, coming, and then stops right at your toes and it doesn't even touch you. You're saved by this tsunami, right? It doesn't touch you. It doesn't hit you. Well, that's like what he's...
It's amazing.
So in other words, not one drop touched you. So he took every drop of ours, of our wrath that God was going to give, we were going to receive that wrath, but it's wiped out, every drop. And so that I just use that example because it's like not... A tsunami...
Something that could devastate...
It'll just wipe you out, right? Yeah. But it stops right at your feet. It's sort of like an analogy for what he did for you and me. No longer guilty.
And you drank the cup of wrath.
So that cup, right? That cup that was before him. What do you think he was... It talks about him sweating blood, right?
So you're talking about in the garden.
Do you know why he was... My understanding of why he was sweating blood like that in the Garden of Gethsemane?
That was before he went to the cross.
He knelt
down and prayed, let this cup be passed from me.
Yeah, and he was sweating blood, right? And I'm thinking people might say, it was because what would be before him, the Roman soldiers were going to brutalise him. But it's more than that. It's in that cup he saw the whole entire world's sin in that cup. And he had to take that on. Everyone's wrath, was in that cup. So he drank our wrath. Our wrath.
Yeah.
I mean, think about it. It's so powerful. He drank our wrath and spared us. So going back to the... So that sweating of blood, I'm sure he would have been
pretty
overwhelmed by that. That in itself.
Let this cup pass from me, if it be thy will, but not, not my will, but thine be done, God.
But as we said before, one man's obedience. It was his obedience.
Absolutely, yeah.
And then, so he was cursed, sin in the flesh.
Yeah.
By making his son sin on the cross, hanging on a pole. His own father cursed him. He became sin for us, and that was the the sermon that
which we'll discuss in greater depth later. But we'll go into a few songs.
Sure.
And
praise God. Thank you, Jesus.
These ones are for Greg. Here we go, Craig.
Go, Greg.
Keyboards right here, spoon it over. On the other set of keyboards. Terry Young. Playing drums tonight, Jim Kelly. Man playing the bass guitar, Tim Drummond. Over on the far right, that's Clyde King. Standing next to her is Mona Lisa Young. Mary Bridges. Gwen Evans. The young lady next to her is the one who told you the story about Jesus before, remember? Somebody's got to tell you about Jesus, right? I know sometimes people say to me, Bob, how can you believe that stuff? I was raised in a church. Either Methodist, Catholic, Calvinist, or whatever. But there's churches and there's churches. Unless you're in a spirit-filled church, you ain't in no church at all. It says that the last days God's going to pour his spirit out upon all flesh. And it's happening right now. Are you ready?
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 Are you
Yeah, welcome to Have a Little Faith, Yarra Valley FM 99.1. That was a song for the great Cracker, who is the biggest Bob Dylan fan I've ever met. And he's out there making coffee for everyone. And
you're a close second, I think.
Well, I don't know. Nothing like him. So, yeah, so I was just thinking about the righteousness of God, and you might talk a little bit about that later, possibly.
Sure.
But, you know, it's incredible. It's an incredible sort of subject, you know. It's sort of endless to think on how good Jesus was to go to the cross for us. And as you're saying, suffer the wrath that should have been ours, rightfully ours. Mm-hmm. But he actually advocated and intercepted. And
well, the Bible talks about, he uses the term propitiation. Have you heard of that?
Go on, tell
propitiator. I can hardly say it myself.
It sounds like
that word means that God satisfied his justice through the Son's sacrifice. There had to be a sinless sacrifice to satisfy the God's justice, because God's a holy God and we're not. Pardon?
We're not holy.
No.
That's right.
So
humanity.
He had to have that sinless substitute.
Yeah, absolutely. So the thing that I think about is like a sponge, you know. He absorbed the wrath of God entirely. But not only that, the spotless Lamb of God that was, you know, prepared before the slain before the foundation of the world, you know, basically absorbed all of our sin, you know. He was made sin for us. And that's a spotless the spotless Lamb was actually made sin. And you think, it's just profound.
And it's by faith too, you know. We're saved by grace through faith. So everything is actually by faith.
Absolutely.
Amen.
Okay. Well, here you go, Cracker. Here's a bit more Bob Dylan for you, Greg.
I was blinded by the devil, born already ruined, stone cold dead as I stepped out of the womb. By his grace I have been touched, by his word I have been healed, by his hand I've been delivered, by his spirit I've been sealed, I've been saved.
Faith in him and call. For so long I've been hindered. For so long I've been stalled. But I'm saved. By the blood of the Lamb. Well, yes, I've been start the show with a nice reading from Philippians chapter 2. From verse 1 it says, "Therefore, if you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from his love, if any common sharing in the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded. Have the same love, being one in spirit and of one mind. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves, not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interests of the others." And of course, that was written to the churches. That's how we should deal with one another corporately in a group in the body of Christ. But it's also a great way to deal individually with people that we know and strangers that we meet. You're with Greg Carrick here on Yarra Valley FM 99.1. And I read earlier about the way we can act towards each other corporately and individually, putting others before ourselves. And that's related directly to the verses after it in Philippians chapter 2 from verse 5. It goes on, "In your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus, who, being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used for his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross." And many religions and philosophies try to tell you that to gain some spiritual attainment, to become saintly even, you have to strive very hard. You have to climb that mountain spiritually, and you have to put all your burdens aside. You can't take others with you. It's a struggle on your own. And if you're very, very good and persistent, you may possibly just reach the top. Whereas God deals with us in another way. He doesn't say, "Come up to my level, sweat, bleed, and try very hard, and you might make it." Instead, he came to us. Christ put aside his infallibility and became a man. And he suffered the things that we suffer, the losses, the pains, the struggles. And he comes beside us and says, "Let me take your burden. Let me take your pains. And let me take your struggles." And we can thank God that he did this out of love for us. He made it possible for us to gain that sanctification. Now, from Romans chapter 5, there's a wonderful verse that says, "Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ." And that's a wonderful thing, that through faith in Christ, we can attain peace with God. Well, how did that happen? In verse 6, it says, "You see, at just the right time, when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly." Verse 8 says, "God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us." God didn't wait for us to change our own way and climb that mountain before he would say, "Welcome," and stretch out his hand. He sent his son while we were still against him, while we were still selfish, while we were still human. And Christ died on that cross for our sins, so that we could then become sinless through faith in him and attain that peace with God. God has done everything possible to open the path, to open the door for us. And all we have to do is accept that sacrifice that Christ made for us. In John chapter 3, there's a very famous verse, very well known. It says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him." And that was God's plan, to open the way between him and ourselves, even when we weren't ready for it, so that through a simple act of believing, we can have that fellowship with God and eternal life.
he is wise. He's got his mother's eyes. There's gladness in his heart. He's young and he's wild. Be there. Lord, protect my child. As his youth now unfolds, he is centuries old. See him at play makes me smile. Happens to me, no matter what my destiny, Lord, protect my child. When the whole earth is asleep, you can look at it and weep. Tell you things to tell. Lord, protect my child. He's young and on fire, full of hope and desire. In a world that's been raped and defiled.
Tuned in to Have a Little Faith. That was a bit of Bob Dylan, Lord, Protect My Child, and Saved, and beautiful stuff. Beautiful stuff from Bob. What a lovely voice, hey, Leanne. Anyway, we won't come. Yeah, I know how much you love Bob Dylan. So, yeah, that was great. So, we were going to talk about the righteousness of God. I think you had a bit of a exploration into that today, and I felt that it might be nice for you to maybe speak a little on that for our listeners.
Sure. The scripture that comes to mind is 2 Corinthians 5, verse 21, and it says, "For he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him." And, you know, I wonder why today sin's taken so lightly, and I think about that, and I come to the conclusion that it's because we don't really know who God is, that he is good and we're not, basically.
Right.
And so the fact that you're actually committing a sin against the glory of God and His majesty and His magnificence isn't really known. And, you know, if I'm having a fight with you, for example, just to, you know, we had an argument of some sort,
mm-hmm.
or maybe not you, someone else, or maybe there's a football match and there's a fight going on with two footy players, let's just say that,
yeah,
keep it
yeah.
neutral. And, you know, the other guy wouldn't really care, there wouldn't be much, you know, sort of, they'd be joking around and forgive each other, oh, that's great, you know, he's my mate. But if you started, you know, attacking the President of the United States, things would be different. You'd probably end up in jail. There'd be charges against you. However, you know, that is because there's the authority there.
Right, yeah.
And they know who they're actually sinning against. And I believe today that a lot of people don't know the full counsel of God's character. Yes, He is merciful. Yes, He is loving. But He's also a just God. He's also a holy God. So that 2 Corinthians 5:21, there's so much glory in that one statement that would and should propel our hearts into eternity of holiness. It's like it should bring us to our knees.
I think the other thing that I think about, you know, just when you say that,
yeah.
is that, you know, a God that would send His Son to the cross, and he broke His heart when that happened, and you know, He was actually probably more significantly or just as significantly hurt by that as Jesus Himself, you know, and the Holy Spirit. But you know, that same God who loves us that much, you know, there has to be some kind of sense of duty and honor to a God that loves us that much. And maybe it's not just about knowing it's important to know who He is, but it's also significant for, in my perspective, to want to ensure that we don't hurt Him in any way, because he actually can be hurt by our actions at times, and actually feel a sensitivity to the Father.
So, which is why we should hate sin, and you know, but maybe we do, maybe we don't. We don't know the true price that was paid, and that's why maybe there is sort of a, you know, a sort of a lightness in that area of how we perceive sin. But I believe we have to come to the realization that you hate your sin because of Christ and because God is holy, basically. And there's a scripture here that mentions His disposition towards this very topic. I think it's in Genesis 6:6, where it says, "And the Lord was sorry that He had made man on the earth, and He was grieved in His heart." So what you're saying, He actually does grieve. There's another one, Isaiah 63, verse 10, where it says, "But they rebelled and grieved His Holy Spirit, so He turned Himself against them as an enemy, and He fought against them." There's so many of those sort of scriptures. But going back to Jesus being perfect, sinless, morally perfect, without blemish, spotless lamb. Not one moment have we been not tainted by sin, but He, no moment. I mean, that is incredible, right? And Jesus loved God completely in His thought, in His word and in His deed. And as the first commandment says, we must do. We have not yet done, which I don't believe one person can honestly say that they've loved the Lord their God with all their heart and all their soul and all their mind and all their strength.
Let alone their neighbours.
Let alone. Themselves. Amen. But He did. He did. Can you imagine? He loved the Lord God with all His heart, all the time, every moment. It's just, when you meditate on that, it's really powerful.
Absolutely.
So no one can ever say that they have never sinned, because the greatest commandment is never reached. Mm. I can't sit here before you and say that I've loved the Lord God with all my heart and all my soul and all my mind and all my strength. I desire that with all my heart, but I haven't done that.
It's kind of getting
but
back,
He did.
Back to what you were saying before about the branch and the vine, you know? You know, that we need the power of God even to...
Amen.
To love Him the way He needs, you know, He wants to be loved, because
His Holy Spirit.
It's not a work of the flesh. That's,
it's the power of His Holy Spirit that enables us to have power over sin, you see. So going back to that commandment, we have never loved Him that way as Jesus has loved the Father. Not one time. Would you agree with that?
Absolutely. Yeah. I was just thinking about how powerful.
I mean, Jesus never failed to give glory to His Father. And I wonder, do we have that same passion for Him?
Mm.
And to discover the infinite, treasure of the wisdom of God in that?
Yeah.
It might, take a lifelong journey to get there. But God deserves that kind of love from us, is what I'm saying. He deserves that radical kind of love from His children.
He does.
And I think he's a family man. Would you say?
Well, that's why
we are is His inheritance.
Absolutely, yeah.
So
that's why he
wants radical lovers who will love Him, but come to Him from their heart, not be dragged or pulled by the ear. That's why He gives us the free will to choose.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Life or death. So we're not robots. He doesn't want robots.
Mm.
He wants freely radical lovers.
Mm. Absolutely, yeah.
I mean, what kind of love would be where, someone would say, well, if you do this, then I'll love you, or it doesn't work. It's not a manufactured robotic kind of love. He draws us first. He woos us.
Yeah.
And we respond because of His love. The Bible says it's the goodness of God that leads men to repentance, not the severity of God. It's His very goodness.
Absolutely, yeah.
That draws us to Him.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, that's right. So
you could go on and on talking about His endless mercy and grace. It's incredible.
Yet when we were far off, He drew us to Himself,
And it's what we heard Greg talk about before, that's we don't have to be a certain way to come to Him. No. You can come as you are.
Well, that's it. In our brokenness, that's when we turn to Him, because, like, in my own life, it's those moments of where I've basically been at the end of myself that He stepped in, and there's nothing I could do.
You're made strong in His weakness. And it goes back to what we discussed earlier about the vine and the branch. As you said again, we can't do anything without Him. And it's the constant dependency on Him. It's our constant dependency. It's always, this situation draws me back to the Father.
Mm.
No matter how hard it is, it will always have the desired effect that you will come running to Father, to Jesus, to the Holy Spirit. Not, I'll run away from you because I'm ashamed, but no, I'm running to you because you're my Father and you love me. So it's a relationship. He doesn't want us running away like Adam in the garden. Where are you? Where are you? He knew where he was.
Yeah, exactly.
But he wanted to give him free choice, free will to come to him.
Mm.
It's beautiful.
Yeah, so what you're saying about the Father sort of figure is really significant, I think, in that He is a Father. He's not, but He's still God, but He's...
There is scripture that says that He chastises those He loves.
Absolutely.
Would you want to have your son run across the road, a two-year-old, you've got him by the hand and then just let him run across a road with cars going 90 miles an hour? You wouldn't just let him do that. You would set boundaries, you'd set precautions. I mean, the Father sets His universal laws in place because He's wanting to protect us. They're not there to harm or hurt us, they're there to protect us. I mean, look at gravity, If you went against the law of gravity, you'd be dead, So there are universal laws in place set for us.
Spiritual laws, yeah.
Spiritual laws that if you break them, there will be consequences. It's His protection, it's His love. So, interesting. We're going off the track, but it's a good off track.
That's all right. Yeah.
Anyway,
so keep going.
That's what the Holy Spirit does. He just does what He wants.
He does.
So so we were saying that God deserves that kind of love from us, and out of Jesus' obedience to his Father, it was out of his obedience. It wasn't his will at all. It was his obedience. You know, he was made sin. So we know that he took on our sin and our guilt, okay? Christ was not guilty, but when he was on the cross, we know now that he bore our sin and was made to be guilty. So that's something that, you know, he was made to be guilty, yeah. And he was legally declared guilty, just as a sinner is today, in the same way, yet he was spotless, you know? and God actually, when you think about it, he crushed his son, I'll use that word. It's a violent term because that's how violent it was. He crushed him with the full force of his wrath that should have been ours. Just meditating on that alone, you know. Imagine your own child.
Absolutely.
Putting yourself in that position. It's horrific. You can't even comprehend it.
That's why I believe it almost hurt the father more than it hurt even the son.
Well, it says in the Bible it pleased him. Count all joy. He put him there.
Yeah, but it's
that was the answer to humanity.
The other side of joy is pain sometimes.
Yeah. It's, you know, that's why I call it the most beautiful redemptive love story of all time. It's the good news. You know, God's made provision for humanity. He won't force, but he's made provision for a way out for those people who are broken and suffering and hurt, who are, you know, addicted to things, whatever they may be. There is hope for these people. There is hope for the most lowest and lowest, the most downcast, the most downtrodden. No one, you know, is exempt from this beautiful love story of redemption.
Absolutely, yeah.
I implore people to reach out, and I guarantee you, if they cry out to him, he will answer. I really want to say that today, that if you cry out to him, he will answer. He's waiting. I feel that people just need to make that step of faith. So if you're real, then reveal yourself to me. Many times I pray for people at work and I don't really know what to say because it's work situation and I have to exercise wisdom because, you know, you could get fired these days for speaking about Jesus at your workplace. But the Lord has protected me and managed to enable me to pray for people, and it's, you know, really great. And I say, Lord, how do I, you know, pray and then preach the gospel to these people in such a short amount of time? And he says, pray that to them that to cry out to me and I will show up.
It's definitely
and they have.
Definitely the case. I mean, that's what happened with me 30 years ago when I experienced God, you know. It was like I was at my lowest and I just said, if you're real, you know, touch me now, you know. And I just felt this power come down upon me, and it was like, it was just not me, you know. It's from outside of myself, and it's just total freedom from the things that were in my life at that time. I mean, it was a progressive progressive journey, in relation to, you know, changing certain things. But the thing was that that moment, it was like just being embraced by the Father, you know, and just having an assurance that of the love of God, you know.
So if anyone's out there who does feel alone and desperate at the end of themselves,
absolutely,
cry out to the Lord Jesus Christ and he will answer.
And then, you know, you don't have to be cleaned up to do that.
No, it just comes, which is what we're saying. Say, it doesn't matter.
Even if you don't have to work your faith up, say, if you're real, you know, just come and do it, you know, come and show them to yourself.
We look at Paul the Apostle in the New Testament, and he was the most, well, he killed Christians, so.
You know, that's the thing I was thinking about before, you know, like, that, you know, you're talking about spiritual laws and, you know, the Lord said to him, Paul, it's hard for you to kick against the goads, or the, kick against the system, so to speak, and the spiritual system. And yeah, it was creating problems for him. And
did he not say he was the worst of sinners?
He's struck blind. Yeah,
is that absolutely right? He said he was
Well, he's felt
the worst of them.
Yeah.
and I am what I am by the grace of God.
Absolutely.
So if a man like Paul can be redeemed, murdering Christians, then
absolutely
no one is short of
no
redemption.
One's beyond redemption.
No one's beyond redemption.
Exactly.
Amen.
So anyway, that's it, you know. Lord, if you're real, show yourself to me.
He will.
Some Holy Ghost keeps me hanging on. Something's wrong, and something's wrong. But some Holy Ghost keeps me.
Tuned into Yarraville FM 99.1 and have a little faith. And thanks, Greg, for giving us the option of doing a show occasionally, maybe once a fortnight. And yeah, we're really thankful to God. And
it's an honour and a privilege. We're really grateful because it is good news and it needs to be shared. You know, there's a dying world out there.
Absolutely, and that was Mavis Staples before those sponsorships with a song called Holy Ghost, which was really a beautiful little song.
Good choice.
Love the Staples singers, Pop Staples and all those guys. Were incredible. It's a great guitarist.
That's before my time, I think.
Was it? Yeah, civil rights. Yeah.
Again, I'm not revealing my age.
No.
But I wanted to, I've neglected to mention before when I was discussing the blood and the body of Christ. If anyone wanted to look further into that, the scriptures that I was wanting to mention that relate to communion. So if you're out there and you're interested, you've got a pen and paper, you can jot down Isaiah 53 passage in the Old Testament and the Gospels, Matthew 26, verse 17 to 28, Mark chapter 14, verse 12 to 24, Luke 22, chapters 7 to 20, and 1 Corinthians 11, verses 23 to 32. So you could have a read of those.
Fantastic.
And get more of a revelation of his blood and his body.
Mm.
Yeah.
I mean, what else can you give? I mean, what higher thing can you give?
Well, there's no hope today, really, of money, job. There's no security. He's the blessed hope. He is the everlasting, unchanging. You see, we can change because God doesn't change. Does that make sense?
It's almost because
like... Because he's immovable. No shadow of turning, the Bible says.
It's like when you're up against a wall, you know, and you can't see a way through, and there's maybe walls all around you, and you can't see, you know, there's walls beneath. You try digging down, and there's bars beneath you. There's bars to your right, your left, in front of you,
all
behind
around.
You.
Prison.
The only way to look is up sometimes, and seriously, I mean, that is the way to look, and the hand of God can lift down into that situation and actually lift you up. You know, it could be employment, it could be anything, but seriously, I mean, you know, that's my experience anyway. You know, it's that it's when I've looked all around and...
Does that remind you of the prodigal son when he was in the pig pen and he'd lost everything, all his money, and squandered everything, and... Then he'd turned from his ways. I guess you'd call that repentance, turning away, and then ran to the Father. Do you remember in the
passage? Yeah, that's a similar sort of theme. I was thinking more just situationally, but yeah, that's really profound. Yeah.
But in the passage, the Father had his arms open, running to his son. And in the Hebrew Old Testament, the rabbis didn't run; they weren't allowed to.
I think that's very accurate.
Lift up. He lifted up his sort of dress, they wore dresses back then, and ran to his son. But that wasn't the done thing to do back then. That wasn't the done thing to do anyway in the Old Testament.
Yeah.
It just shows you the extent. This is a picture of the Father's love.
Absolutely, yeah.
Coming back home.
For some reason it reminds me of when Jesus washed the disciples' feet. You know, there's a humility... in that action for both parties, for the father and the son, and even less so, but even the older brother had to come to humility as well. And, you know, the humility of not only of the cross, but of Jesus in the small actions that he did of washing the disciples' feet, you know, is profound. So I think there's something about, you know, humility being a key to unlock doors that are formally closed to us, you know, and...
He exalts the humble.
There's something about coming to the end of ourselves and realizing that we can't do it. We actually need God. And that's a sense of humility as well, especially in a society that's so sort of focused on the self and strengthening the self. And
which comes back, you know, to our branch and vine imagery at the beginning of the program.
There's nothing wrong with bringing ourselves to God, even our strengths and stuff. But basically, what I'm trying to get at is there's a humility in welcoming a power higher than ourselves into our lives. And sometimes we do come to the end of ourselves, you know. And really, it's sometimes the concept of freedom that we're sold in our society is one of, you know, self. Direction, self-aggrandizement, you know, it's a very self-focused idea of freedom, you know, like, you know, we believe that, you know, we can sort of, and there are so many systemic barriers anyway, but, you know, there's something about, you know, wanting to feel like we're in control, but ultimately, you know, it's coming to the Father that sets us free. It's not necessarily something that can be achieved. I mean, if you look at so many systemic barriers for people that are marginalised in our community, I mean, it's quite evident that you know, that the Father can break down many walls. Anyway.
Amen.
Anyway, it's not grand.
Which is why I like to impress upon people when I'm out there that Christianity isn't a religion, it's a relationship. Father reconciling his children back to himself through his son. And a lot of people don't have that understanding, and it sort of needs to be told.
Exactly, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a relationship. And sometimes in the small things, that the most profound things are seen. You know, William Blake even talks about it in that, you know, infinity in an hour and heaven in a grain of sand, and the smallest things, and the thing about the weak things, you know, the things that are despised being made to bring to naught the things that are, you know, so that are the things powerful. So there's something about, you know, the humble and small and you know, the small things that are profound to God as well. You know, you don't have to be a huge, you know, televangelist or something to actually get anything done. You just got to depend on a God in our brokenness. And you know.
Well, I believe that when we stand before Him on that day, by the way, that'll be the greatest appointment for all of us. That will come to each and every one of us. I don't believe He'll stand there and look at you and say, you know, well done, you know, you evangelized 1,000 people, or you had X amount of crusades. It'll be not what you did for Him. It'll be who were you? As in, did you show mercy?
Did you love?
Were you like Me? Did you learn to love?
That's right.
That's predominantly what it's about. Your character, your being conformed into His image, which is our first and highest call, and second, third, you know, ministry. But our first, highest call is to become like Him, to walk in the fruit, and that's why we need to be connected to the vine, because the Holy Spirit will empower us to overcome our sin in our lives. It's a constant daily contrition, repentance, a daily progression, you know, of sanctification, setting us apart, but not just setting us apart for His glory. We can't forget that bit. It's not just being set apart from the world and from our idols, but it's to be set apart to be used for His glory, because we actually are born to worship Him. We are made, our DNA is made to worship Him, to love Him and adore Him. And anything contrary to that affects us, whether you really want to acknowledge that or not. So it could be manifested in conscience, not being able to sleep at night, anxiety, fear. We are made to worship Him, love Him and adore Him. And so that's a powerful thing in itself. But when you stand there before Him, it will be, I do believe it will be, were you like Me? Did you give that drink to the person that was, you know, thirsty? Did you feed that person that was hungry before you? And the other thing is, it's not just good works. It's you know, here's a drink of water. Let me share the good news about Jesus. It's both. Because a lot of people do anthropic things, good things for people. Well, yeah, they do a lot of good things. But if it's not associated with the good news, the sinless sacrifice, then to me, it's... I'm not saying it's a bad thing, but I'm saying it's not as powerful, especially for the one that's receiving that drink who actually does need the good news. Not just the water, because He is a living water. He is the bread of life. He is the I Am. Come to Me, all who thirst. Come to Me, who are hungry, and I will give you food to drink that you know not of. I will give you water to drink that you know not of.
Yeah, exactly.
So.
Yeah.
Yarra Valley FM acknowledges the traditional owners, the Wurundjeri people, as the custodians of this land we broadcast from. We pay respects to elders past, present and emerging.
Love. We welcome you. Everybody's gonna have religion and glory. Everybody's gonna be a singing a story. Everybody's gonna have a wonderful time up there. Oh, glory, hallelujah. Brother, there's a reckoning coming in the morning. Better get you ready, cause I'm giving you the warning. Everybody's gonna have a wonderful time up there. Well, you listen, everybody, cause I'm talking to you. Jesus is the only one can carry you through. Better get you ready, for I'm telling you why. The Lord is a-coming from his throne on high. Many are the weary and alone and sad. Gonna wish they hadn't done the things they had. How you gonna feel about the things he'll say, brother, on that judgment day? Everybody's gonna have religion and glory. Everybody's gonna be a-singing a story. Everybody's gonna have a wonderful time up there. Oh, glory, hallelujah. Brother, there's a reckoning coming in the morning. Better get you ready, cause I'm giving you the warning. Everybody's gonna have a wonderful time up there. Well, you listen here, my sister, I'm not leaving you out. You're not a preacher, but you sing and shout. Why do you worry if you've been redeemed? Heaven's even better than a miser dream. Think about the trouble you could save some soul. Tell them what to do to reach a shining goal. Surely you could show them how to find the light and make the whole thing right. Oh, everybody's gonna have religion and glory. Everybody's gonna be a singing a story. Everybody's gonna have a wonderful time up there. Oh, glory, hallelujah. Brother, there's a reckoning coming in the morning. Better get you ready, cause I'm giving you the warning. Everybody's gonna have a wonderful time up there. Tribulations darken the way. That's when you get on your knees and pray. Everybody's gonna have the troubles too. Gotta be careful about the things we do. Going down a valley, going one by one. Gonna be rewarded for the things we've done. When we get to heaven and the promised land, brother, then we'll understand. Everybody's gonna have religion and glory. Everybody's gonna be a-singing a story. Everybody's gonna have a wonderful time up there. Oh, glory, hallelujah. Brother, there's a reckoning coming in the morning. Better get you ready, cause I'm giving you the warning. Everybody's gonna have a wonderful time up there.
Yeah, that was a couple of tracks. Klukenberg with Hallelujah, not the original Hallelujah, but another version of Hallelujah. And Johnny Cash, great Johnny Cash.
Walk the Line, that was a great movie.
Don't you love him? He's just so, he's such an amazing, amazing man. He's such an amazing man.
I'll tell you what's amazing. You know, at night time, do you often wonder, when do you see the stars? The brilliance and the ambience of the stars.
You tell me.
Well, at night, in the darkness.
At its darkest.
The darkest. Of your state, perhaps, that you're in, then only then you can turn to see the brilliance and the majesty and awe of God. So it's like an analogy, if you will, or,
Yeah, absolutely.
Of the sin state, the dis-ease, I call it, the condition, if you will, and it's magnified.
Sometimes it's through the desperation for the light, you know, just like, you know, when you're hunting around.
Which is why you can see the brilliance of that star, is what I'm saying, whilst you're in the dark place.
Mm.
And there's one thing to finish up that I wanted to share by an excerpt from a Puritan called John Flavel.
Mm-hmm.
And he wrote an excerpt. He made up a conversation between God and the Son, Jesus, and it's a good illustration, just to finish off, of some marvellous truths that we've actually discussed tonight.
Yeah.
Just to bring it home, what do they say? To land the plane. Mm. I don't think you can ever land the plane when it comes to the gospel. I believe that we'll be talking about this for eons and eons. We only have 0.001% understanding of the gospel itself. Would you agree?
Absolutely, yeah.
We'll be learning about the blood and the body of Christ for eternity, I'm sure.
Depths of what Jesus did on the cross, you know, is profound, you know. It's like beyond words.
There is a limitation to our own thinking.
Mm.
So, but going back to. So this is the excerpt. The father speaking. My son, there are a great number of poor... The father speaking to the son, Jesus. My son, there are a great number of poor, miserable souls. They have completely undone themselves, and they are now exposed to my justice. And justice demands satisfaction for them, or justice will condemn them to eternity in hell. My son, what shall be done for these souls? The son speaks, Oh, Father, my love and pity for them is so great. Instead, I, having them to be destroyed eternally, I will be responsible for them. I will be their guarantee, and I will bring all their bills and everything they owe you so that I may see them bring them all in, so that there will be no after reckonings with them, so they will never have to pay. Father, at my hand you may require it. I would rather suffer the wrath that is due them, that they should suffer it upon me, be all their debt. The father speaks, But my son, if you take their place, you must pay everything. Do not expect that I will go easy on you. If I spare them, I will not spare you. And the son speaks, I am content, Father. Let it be so. Charge it all upon me. I am able to pay it. And though it completely undoes me, though it impoverishes all my riches, I am content to do it. Wow. That's the end of the excerpt. That's like, wow. And here is an example of perfect obedience, as it says in Hebrews 5. Jesus knew what he was, what it was going to cost him, but he did it anyway, and he knew how difficult it would be. Amen?
Yeah. Yeah.
Let us pay the same due.
I guess it reminds me of those old Pentecostal churches, you know, the AOGs. They used to,
what's that?
It was that years ago, this old Richmond AOG, and they used to always say at the end of the sermon, you know, just say the sinner's prayer, they used to call it, and it was, basically, Lord, I repent of my sins, I ask you to come into my heart and wash me from all unrighteousness. I turn to you now as my Lord and Saviour, something like that. It's that simple. It's a profound prayer, and change it has the potential to change your life.
Amen. Thank you, Dom.
That's all right. I didn't do anything. Thanks, Greg, for having us in.
Yeah.
Bye.